Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Caller ID is a phone feature that many of us have become familiar with, but also maybe have even come to take for granted. This phone service allows the number and possibly even the name of the individual calling to appear on the screen or device of the person being called. Not only have we taken caller ID for granted, but we've also kind of started using it to our own advantage in many ways. If our phone rings and we look down and the name and number of the person calling isn't familiar to us or listed in our phone contacts, chances are we don't answer the phone. Instead, we assume that it's probably some kind of a solicitation or some kind of a robocall or something like that. So we choose to not accept a call that we would prefer not to, or at the very least, that we aren't sure what it's about. You see, caller ID may tell us who's calling, but it doesn't tell us what they're calling for or what they want when they call. No matter whether we're familiar with the name and number or whether we have never seen the name or number before, if we want to know what the call is about, we have to answer the call. When we don't recognize the call and we assume it's a robocall, we figure that if it's a real person who wants something specific from us, they can leave a voicemail. Otherwise, we choose to not accept a call that we are uncertain about or would prefer not to. So here's a question. If your phone were to ring and you were to look down and the caller ID read God, would you wonder what he was calling for? And would you answer that call? In a letter to the first century church in Corinth, the early church leader Paul wrote in this letter about how understanding what God calls us to is foundational for finding our way in life. So here's what, let's check out together what Paul wrote. He says, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." The message of the cross is that God loves us enough to provide redemption from sin that breaks relationship with Him and the path to right relationship with Him that had been broken as the result of sin. However, to the Jewish and Greek culture in which Paul wrote his letter, the cross was considered a horrible death. It was a death that was reserved for criminals and slaves and intolerable people of society. So connecting the message of the cross to the power of God would have been almost incomprehensible to Paul's readers or the people of that culture. You see, the Jews and Gentiles or non-Jews or Greeks of the day would have been very, very intentional about discovering the power of God, but in very different ways. The Jews would have been waiting for the Messiah, the one that was going to be sent by God to restore Israel as a nation. And the idea of connecting the power of God to the message of the cross would have been almost offensive. The Greeks, or the Gentiles, they pursued many gods. And their gods were based on influence and power and status and wealth. And the idea of a God that could be martyred would not be a sign of power, but would be a sign of weakness. For the Jews and Greeks alike, the idea that their God could be killed especially on something like the cross, would have given less credibility to the idea of God rather than more. But in what Jesus did on the cross was the epitome of the power and wisdom of God, which is something Paul goes on to provide a little additional clarity to. He says, but to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Jews and Gentiles both relied heavily on wisdom. The Jews would have relied on wisdom that was demonstrated by a power that would have pointed to the revelation of God, specifically the Messiah that they waited for. The Greeks would have relied heavily on wisdom that would have been centered around intellectual reasoning, the capacity of the human mind to make sense out of the world and to make sense out of the gods of the world. The demonstration of power would have clearly reinforced the wisdom behind the intellectual reasoning for the Greeks. And in what Jesus did on the cross that we were unable to do for ourselves, it is the perfect combination of the wisdom of God, knowing exactly what we needed, and the power of God, the ability to provide exactly what we need. The message of the cross seems foolish to those who are rejecting it. And the implication of the order of the Greek that Paul wrote in is that there are some who believe the message of the cross is a message from God, while there are others who reject the message of the cross being a message from God. But Paul uses this relational word, and he uses the relational word salvation, that God calls us to salvation. And that is that God calls us to relationship with Him. He uses this word called. And when we see this word called, we often think about it in the context of a job, a task, or something like that. And though there are examples of that, and the word called does include that, it's not isolated to that. With all but possibly one exception, in the New Testament part of the Bible, which was written in the Greek language, the word that's used for called is always in the context of God calling someone into relationship with Him. And in relationship to salvation, sin is what stands in the way of that right relationship with God. And the message of the cross is that Jesus came to set right the relationship with God and humankind that had been broken by sin. He accomplished on the cross, in His death, what we could never accomplish on our own. And this is simply an act of grace and love. And this act of grace and love should be good news to us, to people like me, and to people like you, because grace levels the playing field. Grace means there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it. God's grace is given out of God's goodness. God's grace is given out of His great love for us. God's grace is found in the message of the cross, the perfect culmination of God's wisdom and God's power. God is calling us into relationship with Him by providing the path to relationship in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And Paul goes on to talk about the implications of this decision, this journey of becoming more like Jesus as we choose to follow Jesus. It says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world, and or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Very few, if any, of the early followers of Jesus were people who were wealthy or wise or powerful in the world's eyes. In fact, most of them were the poor, the weak, the hurt, the wounded. Many of them were the outcasts of society, the people that society wanted nothing to do with. Jesus embraced. And God says that is the condition they were in when he called them into salvation. When he identified that they were broken and wounded and hurt, he reached out to them through the message of the cross to invite them into right relationship with him. And this, again, should be good news for people like me. It means that God doesn't call us when we're perfect. God calls us when we're imperfect. God doesn't call us when we have our act all together. God calls us when we're barely holding it together. God calls us just as we are, where we are, and desires to take us to a different and better place, which is what Paul wrote about to the first church in Corinth. He says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. The early church leader Paul writes to the first century church in Corinth and to people like me and to people like you that the path we choose in following Jesus leads to a different destination. It leads to a different direction in life. It's that we are made right with God, free from sin. The word pure that Paul uses means to be free from blemishes. And when we are united with Christ, when we embrace the message of the cross, the blemish of sin no longer has to stand in the way of relationship between us and God. The word holy means to be set apart. And when we choose to follow Jesus, the decisions we make and the direction of life is set apart from what Paul called earlier the foolishness, the foolish pursuits of the world. We choose something different. We choose the path that God has for us. We choose the path of following Jesus rather than simply pursuing the wealth and the status and the power so often connected to the things of the world. The word united means to be made into a single entity. And so when Paul writes that we are united with Christ, we are made into a single entity, and we act as a single entity with Jesus. In other words, followers of Jesus simply do what Jesus did. And one of the defining marks of Jesus is that he took on the very nature of a servant out of love. And all of what Paul wrote up to this point may sound good, because we like the idea of being redeemed from sin. We like the idea of our brokenness being made whole. We like the idea of our relationship with God being restored. We like the idea of a pure and holy and clean and a life freed from sin. We like the idea of those things. No matter how connected to or disconnected from God you might find yourself, the idea of a better life and a path to being better at life is appealing to each and every one of us. And Paul says that the way to that type of life is by being united with Christ, taking on the very nature of a servant out of love. We like the idea of all that other stuff, but when it comes to being a servant, when it comes to setting aside our interests for the interests of others or even the interest of the common good, some of us pause. Some of us push back a little bit because we're still a work in progress. We don't have our act all together. I mean, the other day when we got cut off in traffic, that wasn't a wave to the driver who cut us off. We're still imperfect. We're still flawed. We still mess things up. And because we aren't perfect, because we don't have our act together, we feel as though we're disqualified from being able to serve anyone else. Or maybe the pushback is because somewhere somebody's going to ask me a question to an answer I don't know. I mean, after all, I don't know what happened to the dinosaurs. And because I can't have the answer to every question, I feel inadequate or unworthy to serve, to help someone else along the path of relationship. But here's part of this dynamic in relationship with God. When we embrace the message of the cross, when we embrace that our relationship with God is broken as the result of sin, and when we embrace that Jesus has done for us on the cross what we could never do for ourselves as an act of grace and love, and provided the path to right relationship with God, when we embrace that God is calling us into relationship with Him, we also accept that we become more like Jesus, and that involves serving. That requires taking on the role of a servant. The good news is that we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to know the answer to every question. The good news is that God doesn't wait until we're perfect to call us into relationship with Him. He calls us into relationship with them and then continues making us perfect as we become more like Jesus, who was perfect and therefore was the epitome of God's power and wisdom to provide the path to right relationship for people like me and people like you. There's an old adage that says, God doesn't call the prepared, He prepares the called. The reality for each and every one of us is that God is calling. And He is calling us into a relationship with Him that provides a different path, including the role of a servant. God is calling each and every one of us to a path that redeems our sin and restores right relationship with Him. And then He places us in situations and circumstances where we can make a difference in the lives of others. He calls us into a specific environment. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your gym or the grocery store, or the gas station, or your golf course. You may not have the answer to every question, and you may not have your act completely together, but you may be in a place and in a position to help someone else take a step in answering God's call on their life into right relationship with Him. So maybe today, maybe the call from God that you need to answer is the call into right relationship with Him that is found in the message of the cross. Maybe the call you need to answer from God is from where you are to where God desires you to be, and you simply just need to take the next step in that relationship as a follower of Jesus. And you need to take the next step in that journey to become more like Jesus as God continues to transform you from who you are to who He desires you to be. Or maybe the next step for you, maybe the call from God that you need to answer is to identify somewhere, some way, and someone that you can serve. God calls us to relationship with Him. God calls us on a journey from where we are to where He desires us to be, and God calls us to make a difference in the world. If God were to call you, if your phone were to ring, and you were to look down and the caller ID were to display God, would you wonder what He was calling for? And would you answer the call? Starting, or maybe continuing that journey, is as simple as saying yes. Let me pray for you as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank You for this letter that the early church leader wrote to Corinth. And thank You for the implications of that letter for me, and the implications of that letter for people like me. Thank You for the message of the cross, which is the message that Jesus has done for me what I could never do for myself because of my own sin, and because of the sin of humankind, which just broke relationship between You and us. And thank You that in Jesus' death, He did for me what I could never do for myself, out of grace and love. And God, thank You for accepting me as I am, where I am, and who I am, but for loving me too much to leave me that way, and providing a journey of growth and transformation for me. And thank You for the opportunity to make a difference in the world by just serving out of love. God, thank You for calling. And thank You for giving me the opportunity to answer the call. And I pray for each and every person that's connected to this right now that You are calling. And I pray that they will have the courage to answer. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We hope that this isn't your last time, but we do hope that this time helps you take a step in your relationship with God.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.